Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for an opportunity once again to come in, gather together as your family and to study your word. Help us now as we study to be able to understand it and be able to use it in our lives and be able to share it with others as well. So we can walk the pathway you want us to be on, so we can help others come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Lead, guide, and direct all this tonight as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z and the word backsliding, pick it up in Galatians chapter 4. Start right here at verse 1, doing 1 through 9. There is, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now this being bondage under the elements of the world is actually before we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are in bondage. We are a slave to our sin. We are bound by that, bound by the flesh. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, Jesus Christ, of course, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because when we receive Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we become part of the family. He adopts us into His family permanently. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This is a reference to the opportunity that you have only if you are born again, and that is to address God Almighty as Abba Father, which is like daddy or papa. It's a precious term of endearment. That prior to the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, that was never available through all of the law of the past, all the priesthood, and so forth. They couldn't have that close personal relationship. Adam and Eve had that before they lost it in the garden. But those two were the only ones that had it through all history prior to the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. But because of His finished work, we now have that opportunity. You would think people would treasure that a little bit more. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit, then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? He's pointing out the precious relationship that we have. And in astonishment, he's pointing out, well, how in the world then could you even consider going back into those sinful ways? Going back to Satan and asking, well, can I hook up again with your chains and being in bondage with sin once again? He's just saying, how in the world could you possibly consider doing that? But yet we see it so often. Here in Galatians chapter 6, in the book, it's got it listed as counseling backsliders. Let's look at this a little broader here in verses 1 through 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. This is a very interesting verse here. It's like when you see someone that is falling away, slipping away, backsliding in one manner or another, carefully help them, carefully counsel them, carefully direct them or guide them, but be careful not to be drawn in to their behaviors, which we see way too many times. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So we need to be living the example that we should to those around us and to our backsliding Christian friends that are dabbling in things you know they shouldn't be dabbling in. Don't associate with them because you could be drawn down into that same pit, that same bad behavior. But reach out to them just the same. Don't participate, but reach out to them. And don't puff yourself up with pride, is what he's cautioning about here. Don't be thinking you're something special because you haven't fallen and somebody else has. Because then you could fall into a trap of your own. So we got to be careful, help each other, but help each other carefully. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Of course, this is a letter from Paul to young Timothy, the protege, helping him to establish himself as a pastor. Let's look at verse 17 through 21 here. This is speaking of how money and riches can pull someone away and backslide as a result. And he's teaching Timothy how to deal with those that are being enticed or drawn away because of money. And that's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Got to always realize what you've been blessed with comes from God. You might say, well, I'm a self-made man. I did all the work and did all this. I put all this together. Well, who do you think gave you the ability to do it? Who do you think gave you the mind to be able to come up with the ideas, the drive, the health, the opportunities? All that is blessings from God. And yet too many people get puffed up with pride saying that something that they accomplished themselves. We of ourselves can accomplish absolutely nothing. We cannot even be alive of our own. It's all a gift from God. So we got to realize that. So when we get prosperity, realize that it's a gift from God. It's not something that we achieved of our own merit, because it is never of that. And he's instructing Timothy here to caution those, because then they can start getting puffed up with pride and pull away, saying, well, I don't need God, I don't need all that, because I've already taken care of things on my own. They that do good, verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. This good foundation, of course, is a trust in Jesus Christ, laying up treasures in heaven, not here on the earth. That they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. This is an interesting thing he finishes up here with. It's actually a different subject matter, but it still is within backsliding. It's no longer speaking about the riches, but about false teaching, about false science. He says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. That is an understanding of the truth of the Word of God. And avoid profane and vain babblings. Vain babblings. It's like in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So much of this false science that is out there that can pull people away that have had a very expensive education. What have you spent your money on? To learn very expensive lies? Because that's what they teach so much of. Because he calls it here, in oppositions of science, falsely so called. Because the word science is the quest for knowledge and understanding. And if it is true science, knowledge and understanding is truth. But if the knowledge and understanding is a lie, then it is falsely called science. It is not science. It's a lie. It's a fable. It's false. All right, flip on over to 2 Timothy. One of my favorite verses here, 2 Timothy 2:15 through 19. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we do this, we can avoid wandering from the truth, as they've got listed in the book there. How do you do that? You got to study. Some of the more modern translations say, be diligent, which be diligent means to study, to stay at it. I like the simplicity of the word study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That means you got to look in there. You got to look deep. You got to go over it over and over. You got to pray about it. You got to speak to the Holy Ghost. You got to study. Why? So that you can be a workman. It's not ashamed of the ignorance that you may have. I'm not saying you'd be stupid. There's a total difference between being stupid and being ignorant. Being ignorant means you just haven't got the information yet. You are unlearned in a particular subject matter or a particular issue. But stupid is totally different. We see a whole lot of stupid, but we won't address that. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. Now this rightly dividing, that means to understand where scriptures apply, where they don't, what they apply to, when they apply, who they apply to. And that is rightly dividing it. Because the scriptures, the way they're laid out, it can be very confusing sometimes. So you have to divide it up and understand the truth that is within it. Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings. He just mentioned this to Timothy in the first letter. These vain babblings. They just spew out a bunch of stuff to try to impress somebody. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. Pride is one of the worst things that comes from that. Arrogance comes from that. When someone who has done a lot of studying starts to puff themselves up as thinking that they are now an expert of the Word of God and looks down at everybody else that hadn't done as much studying as they are, and they start getting puffed up with pride that they have it all figured out and nobody else does. That would be that vain babblings, and which will increase unto more ungodliness. When they get puffed up with pride and arrogance, when they think they know all of it, and they're beyond being taught by anybody else because they're so full of the information that they've spent decades to learn, they've got all these initials along with their name, and they just, you know, want to be called a reverend because they need to be revered by others and so forth, they can really get puffed up with pride. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. These are two that they were dealing with that already this early in the ministry had already started to get puffed up with his pride, who concerning the truth were have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So they had puffed themselves up thinking that they had a great understanding of the Word of God, and they had even the resurrection wrong. But yet they were spreading that false teaching because they were so well learned in their eyes. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Simple instructions. study, get it right. Don't get puffed up with pride. Teach the truth. Don't teach a lie. Give God all the credit. All right, flip on over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews is a very interesting book. It's thought to have been written by Luke because of the style of writing. Not confirmed, but thought by many to have been written by Luke. It can get very confusing in some areas. Hard to understand. You got to do a lot of studying to understand all of Hebrews. But let's look at this one here about a warning that goes to backsliders in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. That means the Word of God, because he's speaking to the Hebrews here, what they've heard, eyewitness reports of Jesus and the work that he has done. Lest at any time we should let them slip. We, as Paul just said, we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. If we keep studying, it keeps reinforcing it in our fallible brains that seems sometimes to forget things or to get them confused or to drop chunks of it out altogether. We need to reinforce that over and over. The repetition helps the accuracy of your understanding of the Word of God. So just read it over and over and over. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? This is given accountability, credibility, to what they're basing their belief system on. What do you trust? What are you believing? What are you studying? What is the source? What I always say is consider the source. He's confirming and reassuring them of the accuracy of the source of what they want to stand on as their foundation. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. If we depend on the Holy Ghost, the teaching that comes from the Holy Ghost, then we know we are standing on something solid and accurate and true. Study the Word of God. This book has been battled over, has been scrutinized, has been revised over and over again, trying to destroy the content of it. But God is going to always keep the content that he wants there. He will preserve his word. So study it thoroughly, over and over. Pray. Reach out to the Holy Ghost. Listen to him, and you'll get an understanding of what the Lord is trying to speak to you from his word. Because it can be depended upon. It is accurate. From the front to the back, all the way through. Hebrews chapter 10. Now this one is a danger in continuing in sin. Let's pick it up in verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Something we see so often, people start to waver when they get in a group, when someone pressures them, when someone is questioning them. Do they start backpedaling a little bit? Do they start going along with the majority that might be there? Even though deep in their heart they know the truth, they're willing to agree and go along with the crowd, they start to waver. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Always encourage each other, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. This forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, we sure see this a lot in this country. A decrease in attendance in church. It tells us not to be doing that. Because when we come together as a family, because that's what we are, when the believers get together, it's like a big family reunion. And you come in to have a big meal, and you feed on the Word of God, and you're given that water that can quench our thirst. And yet you see so many people going hungry. They're going out in the world trying to find other ways to feed and to quench the thirst, other activities, other interests, thinking that they're going to find that fulfillment somewhere else. They're not going to find it, because there's only one place that you can get that, and that is from God. And one of the best places to get that is in an assembly with others, because that's what he tells us in his word. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? Judgment day. Day of accountability. The rapture, the tribulation, the millennial period, all ahead of us. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Like, you don't get born again and again and again. You get born again and then you return back into your sin. You best ask the Lord to forgive you. Because, as it says, you're not going to automatically get washed again. When you receive Jesus Christ, you're washed completely of everything up to that point. White garment you're given. What you do with that white garment after you've received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, will be considered judgment day. If you've managed to ask the Lord to forgive you prior to your meeting him at judgment day, after you were born again, then you can get all that washed in the blood that you have messed up between your original salvation and your being in judgment. We've given provision for this in the little epistle of John, that Jesus Christ is our advocate. If we mess up, we take it back to him and ask forgiveness, get it washed in the blood. But don't think that you're going to face the Lord judgment day and not be accountable for what you've done since you've been born again. You will not be accountable for anything that happened prior to you becoming born again. But between the time that you're born again and judgment day, you best keep it on the straight and narrow. And if you do not keep it on the straight and narrow, you need to take it to the Lord and get it washed in the blood. That's why you see so many people that are so anxious to speak to the preacher when they're on their deathbed. They want to make sure that they got it taken care of before they meet the Lord. They're already born again and they know they got an assurance of their salvation. But it is still, there's accountability. There's, what have you done with what I've provided you with since I took you in as one of my family? That's what we will have to answer for. And if we can stand there and say, well, it's all been taken care of because it's all been washed in the blood. Granted, I messed up a little bit between first time I got saved and now at judgment, but I managed to have sense enough to bring it up and confess that to the Lord. Way too many times, Christians don't want to confess their mess-ups, their sins. They think, well, I'm okay, I got saved. None of this really matters. It's already washed, it's already covered. I'm going to heaven. Well, that's false teaching. Yes, you're going to go to heaven, but as it says in about our gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. We can lose rewards. We can be accountable for our misbehavings as Christians. We can lose blessings now We can lose blessings that we would be able to enjoy during the millennial period, and we can lose rewards and blessings that we would be able to enjoy for eternity if we mess up as Christians since the time that we become born again and the time that we are at judgment. That's why it's so important every single day you pray. You pray continuously all through the day. You know good and well when you mess up. Holy Ghost tells you. Get it right then, instantly. Because you don't know how much more time you got. We don't know how much more time it's going to be before the Lord comes back. Instantaneous. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That quick. So that's why we should always be so quick to ask the Lord, please forgive me. I know that was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have felt that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have drank that. I shouldn't have smoked that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have looked at that. I mean, you could just go on and on and on. You know, the Holy Ghost tells you right away, get it taken care of right away. Then you won't be held accountable for it. And that's what he's telling us here. Let's continue it here in verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, supposed ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. This is accountability for someone who is a backslider. Loss of rewards. You will be accountable. For these so-called Christians, or for these backslidden Christians, they're out there. There is accountability for that. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's a powerful verse there. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I've been with... make it quick here. I'll finish up with that one there. I've been with folks moments before they passed away. Some of them smiling from ear to ear, ready to go, got everything all taken care of, no problems. Others totally scared to death. So how will you be? Totally scared to death? Or smiling from ear to ear, ready to go, anxious to go. If you got it taken care of, got it all washed in the blood, you'll be smiling from ear to ear, ready to go. And that's what he's talking to us about right there in Hebrews. It's all the time we have. Let's go ahead and close here. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It is so powerful. It gives us those guidelines of how to behave as Christians. It can give us the encouragement. It gives us some excitement in knowing what we have to look forward to. It can also give us a little bit of a scare now and then when we realize that we can be accountable. Help us all to know that when we mess up, that we can turn to you and get it taken care of and grow in your graces to be able to be drawn in and be comforted. We thank you so much for that. And give us that peace that passeth all understanding once we do that. We thank you so much. Lead, guide, and direct us this week that everything we do bring honor and glory to you as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.